good morning and welcome to Local Church. I'm Paul Ballington. I get to be the lead pastor here at Local, and we are honored and grateful to have all of you here with us this morning. How incredible and awesome was that video? It's pretty rad. Let me tell you how awesome it was. So Local's been around now for about 7 months, and God has allowed us to be a part of so much awesomeness just in this first year. And a big reason behind that is because of y'all's generosity and how awesome you are at supporting the work of ministry financially. Because of that, we were able to partner with three other churches in our community to send the entire astronaut football team to an FCA camp this summer. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of clapping this morning, so just stay ready. For those of you that don't know what FCA is, it stands for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and it's been around since about 1954. And what they do is they partner with local schools through local sports, and they bring the gospel to that community through the vessel of sports. And last week, this camp took place that Coach Logan Halleck took the varsity football team to, and it was super rad. So they go to this FCA camp. They're there with other schools, other football teams from other parts of Florida in the country. They spend a week there. And every night they're going to chapel, they're going to church, as they call it, for camp. And on Thursday night is always the night that they share the gospel and they give all these young men an opportunity to take that step, to enter into a relationship with Jesus. So Coach Halleck is texting me and all the other pastors from the different churches that helped get them there. And he said, hey, the gospel's getting shared tonight. You guys be praying. So we're praying, right? And then Logan calls me this week. And he's like, you're not going to believe what happened, Paul. And I'm like, please tell me. He goes, hey, we took 44 young men, athletes, to this camp along with all the coaches. The gospel got shared Thursday night. 40 out of 44 young men gave their life to Jesus that night. Yeah. Praise God. All right. So Logan's talking to me, right? And we're celebrating this. And I'm like, well, hey, man, have you talked to these guys about baptism? And he goes, man, I need your help. I'm like, all right, what are we doing? He goes, this Thursday just passed. He goes, hey, is our last summer practice before we get about a 2-week break before school starts back up. He goes, we're wanting to do a special baptism service for the team. Bring your tub out on the field, fill it full of water, have all the other pastors come out, and we want to give them the opportunity to take that step. I'm like, absolutely, man. Tell me what time to be there. We'll be there. So this past Thursday, around 10 o'clock, me and Pastor Tyler and those three other pastors from different churches in our community, we go out there, we get to the field, take the tub out there, we fill it with water, and the coach comes out, presents a great message, encouraging these young men. Their parents are here, all this great stuff right there on the football field at Astronaut High School. And 24 of those men decided in that moment, hey, this is time. It's time for me to go public with that decision and this physical symbol of what's already taken place in my heart. So 24 got baptized. Yeah, that's incredible. So you think that's cool? Listen to this. When we get out there on the field, the guys out there mowing the grass, cutting the field, one of the coaches goes over to him and asks him, hey, you mind taking a break while we do this? The guy's like, sure, why not? No problem. Comes over. He's hanging out, and he's watching all this go down. The guy cutting the grass on the field decided it was time for him to go public with his faith in Jesus, too. He got baptized. 25 baptisms on a Thursday morning on the astronaut football field. It was absolutely incredible, church. There's really no words to accurately describe just, like, how incredible it actually was. So I want to thank you, church. Thank you for investing in kingdom work, for supporting the work of ministry financially so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and serve our community and reach others with the life-changing message of Jesus. By doing this, we are saturating our community with the gospel. Saturating, meaning that we are pumping so much of the gospel into our community that everything's being affected. Everything's being touched by the gospel, by Jesus. And church, we have the opportunity to do more. So we have two projects coming up that we as a church are going to take ownership of, and we are going to continue serving our community, continue saturating our community with the gospel through these projects. A big way that we serve our community as a church is through our local schools. We serve two local schools in our community, one of which is Astronaut High School, like you just heard, And then the second is Mims Elementary, the building that we're in right here, right now, this morning. And these two projects are for Mims before the school year starts on August 12th. The first project is this. Saturday, August 3rd at 8 a.m. right here at the school, we are going to get together as a church. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to get a little bit sweaty, but we're going to get some much-needed projects done for the school. We have two landscape beds they need redone, and then they got these really cool plaques that they want hung up in front of all the classrooms, and then we're going to put together some really cool, just encouraging swag bags for all the teachers for them to have when they come back to work that week before school officially starts. So that's one way we're going to do it. The second way is we're really going to bless the teachers here at MIMS. And if you have, you should have this. If you got a program, this should be in that program. This has all the info on it. But the second way that we're going to do this is we're going to really bless the teachers here at MIMS. So total here at MIMS, there's 41 teachers. 37 of those teachers have their own classroom that they put their own personal money into all the time to love on their kids as much as possible. So what we have done is had each teacher come up with an Amazon wish list of things that they need for their classroom. And we as a church, we are committing to taking responsibility for each of those wish lists. I asked the principal, I sat down with her, and I said, hey, what would really bless them? Like, what would really encourage them and really help them out? Like, what dollar amount? And she said, Paul, if you in the church, if you guys can do $200 per classroom, that would bless them like crazy. And more than likely, they wouldn't have to pull into their own pocket for their classrooms, at least for the beginning of the year. So that is what we have committed to as a church. Each family, each person that makes up local church, we're going to take ownership over a classroom wish list or part of a wish list. In your program, like I said, is that flyer. You're going to see two QR codes, okay? The top QR code is going to take you to a wish list, all the list of teachers here at MIMS, all the classrooms we're sponsoring. There's four spots per classroom, okay? If your family is able to own an entire wish list and do the full $200, that's incredible. Just sign up for all four spots. If you're not able to do all four spots and do the whole $200, no problem. It's still great. You could still serve. You could still love. You can pick one spot, okay? Then you're going to go to that second QR code that's going to take you to a Google Doc that we have created that has a list of all the teachers, the grade that they teach, and then it has the link to their Amazon wish list. So once you pick your teacher, you're going to go to that other one, and then you're going to take the link, you're going to go to Amazon, and you're going to do this stuff, buy it, and have it shipped to the school or wherever they have it. Clear as mud, right? Everybody got it? Yeah. Save these flyers, okay? We're going to keep pushing this, all right? That way, if you need a reminder, you can also always email me. My email's super simple, paul@localchurchfl.org, if you have any questions. I've even thrown my phone number up here multiple times. You probably have my phone number by now. If you're having issues, no problem. Just shoot me an email, shoot me a text, and we'll help you out. But that is what we are going to do as a church to really bless this school, to really serve them so well, and just continue saturating our community with the gospel. And I want to continue to encourage you, church, how we are doing this, how we are blessing these classrooms and these teachers, this is us bringing our first and best, just like the Bible calls us to. And this dollar amount that we're committing to isn't meant to replace our regular giving at church, but this is supposed to be us going above and beyond on top of what each of us is already giving. Let's just keep serving. Let's keep loving on our community. Let's keep reaching others because God is doing some incredible things here in North Brevard, and it's happening because the community is being saturated with the gospel. Everything's being affected. Every nook and cranny in our community is feeling the power of Jesus, and our community is continuing to be transformed by the gospel. Amen? You guys pumped up by that? Let's love and let's serve on this school well. They need it. So let's do it. Let's do it well. Let's do it with joy. But being saturated by the gospel is exactly what we are going to be looking at today as we continue in our Win in Romans series. As a church, this summer we have been journeying through the book of Romans. The book of Romans was originally written as a letter to the early Roman church by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote a ton of these letters to all different parts of the early church, but many believe that the book of Romans is the meatiest of these letters. The book of Romans is 16 chapters all about the gospel, the life-saving, life-changing message of Jesus. And Paul really takes the time to explain the gospel to us, defend the gospel, And then he tells us, hey, this is how the gospel should change and transform your life. And we know from studying church history that big things happen when people read, study, and hear the book of Romans. And we are believing, and now we are experiencing and witnessing big things happen in our own church and our community. Since we've started this series, Local has been a part of multiple salvations, 36 baptisms, local group attendance up by 20%. We have had our largest month of giving to date in the month of July, this month that we're in right now, and it's only July 21st today. Pretty rad, huh? Like, can we? I mean, like, that's awesome. Like, you're talking about serious life change. You're talking about God using Local to pump the gospel into Mims and North Brevard. It's incredible. It's incredible what he is doing, and he deserves all the credit, all the honor, all the glory, and it's incredible what he is allowing us to be a part of. And today, we're going to keep going. Today, we're going to be in Romans chapters 12 and 13. If you have your Bibles or devices, you can track with us that way. You can also track along in your program that you should have received on the way in this morning. In chapters 12 and 13 is the part of Romans where Paul starts to tell us how the gospel, the life-saving, life-changing message of Jesus, how it should change and transform our lives. And really, our entire message today is going to revolve around the idea of being saturated. Saturated means to fill something or someone with something until no more can be held or absorbed. And what we are meaning by saturated today is that being saturated with the gospel, that we're so filled up with the gospel, that we're so filled up with Jesus, that everything is an overflow out of the gospel. Everything around us is being touched, and it's being experiencing the powerful life change, the powerful message of Jesus. Because really, this is what Romans chapter 12 is going to tell us. Because for the first 8 chapters of Romans, Paul takes the time to give us the explanation behind the gospel, the why. And he's thoroughly explained that all that Jesus has done for us, all that we've gained through Jesus. And then chapters 9 through 11, they help us to understand the how of the gospel. Like we talked last week, what is God's responsibility in salvation? What is our responsibility in salvation? And now in chapters 12 and 13, we're going to start seeing the what. Like, what do we do with this? How should our lives be now that we have the gospel and we're following Jesus? And the first place we have to start is with ourselves. Our first point this morning is saturate ourselves. Paul tells us from the very start in chapter 12 what we need to do as individuals. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul starts us off with a therefore. And anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you have to ask, what is the therefore therefore? It usually means because of something previous that we have just read in Scripture should lead to this response that we just read. And in chapters 1 through 8, Paul took the time to help us understand fully all that Jesus has done for us. And at the end, in chapter 8, he really tells us all that we've gained through the gospel. And now in chapter 12, Paul is expanding on that to say what this should cause us to do. What should our response be? Paul says first, we have to start with ourselves. Give ourselves over completely to God. Our lives should be a living sacrifice. This is true and proper worship. Now, worship isn't just what we do on Sunday mornings as a group when we come together and we're singing and praising God with songs. That's absolutely part of it. But really, our entire lives, every action, every thought, everything that we do should be an act of worship. Our true and proper worship is holding God above everything else, making him the most important part of our lives. And after Paul tells us that, like, hey, this is what you should do. You've gained all this through Jesus. God should be number one to you. Everything in your life should somehow be dedicated to him, and you should be trying to honor him in every way of your life, not just compartmentalizing your faith to just a Sunday morning or just certain times of the week. It should take over every part of your life. And Paul keeps going. Don't let the world have influence on you. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let your mind be renewed so that you will know what honors God. And then we can put ourselves on the right track to obeying his will. For anybody that knows Jesus here this morning, who's received the gospel, the life-changing, life-saving message of Jesus, we should not think like those who don't know Jesus. We should have a different worldview than those who don't know Jesus. Ultimately, if we know Jesus, we have the true source of hope, peace, joy, and love. We have the promise of eternity in heaven. We've been saved by the grace of God. Our lives and our way of thinking should absolutely look different from the outside world. The way to do this is by saturating ourselves, saturating our lives with the gospel, saturating ourselves with all the truth and all the promises that God has given us. And it starts with our minds. Our minds are a powerful thing. God has given us this brain, and it's more powerful than we know. And that's why Paul starts with telling us what to do in this part of our lives. Everything else is going to flow out of how we handle the space in between our ears. And I don't think anybody in here this morning would argue with the truth that we live in a really messed up world. All you have to do is watch one 30-minute segment of news every day, and you'll be absolutely reminded of how messed up the world is. And the reality is that the world is a very polluted place. The Bible tells us since sin entered the world at the beginning of creation, the world's been broken. It's in a fallen state. It causes us to be broken as people. And if we allow our minds to be polluted by the world, we will have a polluted life. It's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever comes in is going to produce what comes out. It's like this. If I decide today that from here on out, I'm eating McDonald's 3 times a week, every day for the rest of my life, it's absolutely going to affect my body in that way. I'm going to look like I eat McDonald's 3 times a day, every day of my life. If we let the world pollute our minds, every area of our life will be polluted, and it's going to look like the world, which is fallen and broken. But a mind that is saturated by the truth of the gospel and all that we've gained through Jesus turns into a life that is dedicated to God and a life that mirrors all the beautiful promises and truths that he's given us, which in turn leads a person to know what honors God. And in turn, we're able to know what God wants us to do, how he wants to use us. So let me ask us this morning, is the gospel saturating our life more than the world? Are we spending time in the Bible every day being reminded of all that we are through Jesus? Are we being reminded of God's promises? Are we spending time in prayer talking with God? Is prayer a regular activity? Or is it just something we do in a time of crisis? Are we spending time in community being encouraged by other believers, helping saturate each other with the gospel? Are we actively making time to help each other grow spiritually? We do this at local through local groups. That's our primary vessel and vehicle of doing discipleship. It's a healthy thing and a great thing for us to do as followers of Jesus to get together with other believers. And as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so should we sharpen one another. That's what happens in these groups. We're reminding each other who we are through Jesus. We're taking ourselves from being polluted by the world and being renewed and strengthened by the word of God and reminding ourselves, filling our minds with the goodness of his promises, not the garbage that is out in the world. Those are some of the main ways that we can saturate ourselves with the gospel through his word, through his prayer, and through each other in community with other believers. And Paul tells us to start with ourselves. That's the beginning of what we do, of all that we've gained through Jesus. Then he tells us, you got to saturate the church. That's our second point this morning, saturate the church. Paul goes from what we do as individuals right into how this works when we all come together as a group of believers, the church. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. He uses our human body as an analogy for the church, which is also known as the body of Christ. Just like our human body has different parts for different uses, so does the church have many parts and areas that God uses in different ways. And we, as believers, we all have different abilities and passions that we bring together to saturate the church with those abilities and those passions that God has given us. It goes on to say in verses 6 through 8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This scripture right here is pointing to this wonderful, beautiful truth that we all share as believers, as followers of Jesus, that God has blessed us all in some way with different abilities and passions that we are called to bring into the church, to form up the church. The church is not this building. The church is a living organism that is made up by each and every one of us in here with a heartbeat this morning that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We function just like a human body. Each person brings their own gifts and their passions to the table, and we are able to operate like a body should, the way God designed us to operate. We all have a shape that God has given us. Shape stands for this: spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. We all have a shape, and we are called to bring that shape into the church so that we can saturate the church. When we bring that shape into the church, we operate like God created us to. And then we are saturating it with the gospel. And that's how the gospel leaves these walls and goes out and starts affecting the community and have an impact on the world. Now, there's a few different ways to find your shape. There's these self-assessment tests that you can easily find online. They're through biblical websites or different church websites. And those tests, they're great. If you want to take the time to do that, that's awesome. You can simply just Google shape test, and it'll take you to the right link. You click on it, take the test. But let me tell you my favorite way and the tried and true way of finding your shape. It's called the SF method. This is a Paul Ballington original, okay? SF stands for see a need, fill a need. Real simple. There are needs all around the church. Any church that you go to, any church that you step into, there are needs in that church. And you just need to ask, where are those needs at? And when you see the need, you fill the need. And then you grow through the process until you are to a place where you feel like your shape is being fulfilled. And trust me, you will know when you are to that place. God will absolutely make you aware when you are in that space, when you're growing through that process and you finally reach the place where he wants you to be. And then you will know that you are saturating the church with the gospel that is living through you. Right now, here at Local, you can fill needs in every area. You can fill needs on the greeter team, the hospitality team, ushers, setup, teardown team, tech team, worship team, leading local groups, being a part of a local group. And last but certainly not least, our real heroes here on Sunday morning, our local kids crew over there serving all of our kids, bringing them the gospel of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, just pick one. Don't be afraid to push your comfort zone. And then you grow through this process until you two are a place that you know, hey, this just feels good. This feels right. I feel like this is exactly where God wants me to be. And what's cool about this is you start this process, a big part of it is when you get into these places and you start serving and bringing your gifts and your passions into the church, you're going to have confirmation from other people. Like, as much as I would love to stand up here and sing to all of you every Sunday morning, that is not a gifting of mine, okay? You guys would let me know. Pastor Tyler would let me know. Paul, we love you, but that's not your strength, man. That is not your shape. But when you get into those places where you are, you're going to have confirmation from people. Remember, God speaks through his Spirit, through his word, and through his people. You're going to have confirmation of, okay, I'm where I need to be. For instance, in 2017, I started serving in Greenhouse Kids, the children's ministry at the Grove Church. And here I am 7 years later being used by God to start local church and lead local church. Do you think that I felt called to serve in children's ministry? Look at me. Yeah, I'm exactly the guy that's supposed to be helping three-year-olds color pictures of Jesus. No. But I saw a need. I filled that need. God grew me through that process. And finally, through his Spirit, through his word, through confirmation from other believers, I got to the place where it's like, hey, this is my shape. This is where God wants to use me. But we all come to the table bringing different gifts and different abilities. And don't ever let the enemy steal the joy from you that greeting out in the parking lot is any less important than me preaching on stage. Every part of it's important. The finger's not more important to the ear. It has to work together, right? Don't ever let the enemy steal that joy from you, because that smile on face that you're bringing to that front gate might just be the thing that gets somebody in here to hear the gospel and receive it and become saved and have eternity in heaven. So do not be discouraged by that. Let's saturate the church. When we do, the gospel leaves these walls and impacts our community. And that's exactly what Paul gets to when he gets into Romans 13. Because once we begin this progression of the gospel entering our lives, it starts by saturating ourselves. Then we bring it in the church, we saturate the church. And then next, we got to saturate our culture. That's our third point this morning, saturate our culture. Well, let's see what Romans tells us about this. Romans 13, 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. How does this connect with how we saturate our culture? Let's keep reading. Verses 2 through 5. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. What in the world do we do with this? And how does it connect to us saturating our culture with the gospel? Those first seven verses in Romans chapter 13, what they're really saying, the bottom line, the main idea, submit to the governing authorities. And this isn't the most popular idea. Most of us disagree with a lot of what our governing authorities do, from local government all the way to the top in our federal government. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. We all disagree with certain decisions that get made by our governing authorities. And it might cause us to wonder, why would God want us to submit to governing authorities when it seems like they do a whole lot of things that go against what God would want? I think we all ask that question when we read this scripture initially. But what we have to start with is we got to look back on a big part of what we talked about last week, and that's God's sovereignty, meaning that God is creator of everything and that he has authority over everything, and he can rule however he wants because God is perfect. He is just. His plan is perfect. Our job is to trust him, not question how he rules creation. And we have to recognize that he allows the leaders in our government to be in those positions for a reason. We may never know that reason, but we can trust that if God didn't want it to happen, it would not happen. He ultimately allows it to happen to carry out his perfect and just plan. And our problem that lies in many of us as Christians who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we get to a place where we cannot see past our earthly government to God's government. And we stop trusting in the providence of God. Providence meaning God's caring provision for his people as he guides them in their journey of faith through life, accomplishing his purpose in them. And we start to lose our minds when it comes to politics. Now, does this mean that we just disengage with politics altogether? Absolutely not. We, of course, should exercise our right to vote, our right to run for government office if we feel led to. But this does not mean that we make an idol out of our political party. And this is where we could saturate our culture with the gospel following this command in Romans. If you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, you have to realize that you are a citizen of heaven far before you are a citizen of America. And anytime we are in a politically polarizing time, such as we are right now as a country, millions of people are looking to Christians, trying to see how are we responding to everything that is happening. And this is where I really want to challenge you this morning. And I want to ask you, do people know that you are a Christian before they know which political party you belong to? If our culture is looking to us, to Christians, to see a response, do they see the gospel or are they seeing a donkey or an elephant? I know that this is challenging. It's probably even a little uncomfortable. There's another word for uncomfortable. It's called conviction. It's how God grows us. And if we listen to this scripture and we do what God has called us to do, what he's telling us to do, we will saturate our culture with the gospel in ways we never thought were possible, church. Paul continues on in Romans 13, verses 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Jesus, he puts it like this in Mark 12, 17. He says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What Jesus was doing in that moment is he's legitimizing government, but he's putting it in a proper perspective. He's telling us, hey, it's not ultimate. Like, it doesn't last forever. He said, give your coin to Caesar. Give to God what he deserves. The coin bears Caesar's image, give it to him. You bear God's image, give your life to him. So how can we live this out? How can we saturate our culture with the gospel in a massive way? It's really simple. We just got to be a good citizen. Pay our taxes. Be respectful. Pour ourselves out for the needy. Serve our city and our country for the common good. Spend more time praying for our government than criticizing it. Be more committed to saturating our culture with the gospel and showing people the love of Jesus rather than trying to change their political views. Rest in the sovereignty of God. Calm down. I get it, church. I got opinions too. I see things happening. Do you think there are moments when I get fired up? When I'm terrified what possibly my children might face in their generation as adults, those are the moments. You gotta calm down. Remember the sovereignty of God. No matter what happens, God is still on the throne. He is reigning. And no matter what happens, for those of us that believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, our eternity is secured and nothing can change that. And lastly, remember that you are a citizen of heaven before you are a citizen anywhere else. And you are called to be an ambassador for Jesus, representing him at all times and in all circumstances. Saturating our culture with the gospel, filling it up so much with Jesus that everything's being affected and influenced by him. It's pretty difficult, isn't it? This is a lot of application in one message. I know I've given you guys a ton of action steps. Maybe you're wondering, How long do we do this for? And that brings us to our last point together this morning. Saturate until the end. For my serious note takers in here this morning, that open blank after end was a mistake, okay? I caught it too late, so we're rolling with it. If you need something to put in that blank, put faithfully. Serve, saturate until the end, faithfully. Paul ends chapter 13 with this. Verses 11 through 14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul is telling us, it's time to wake up, church. The time is now. Every day that passes is one day closer that Jesus is coming back. The time to saturate ourselves, the church, and our culture with the gospel is now. And we do it until the end faithfully, remembering that Jesus is coming back to make everything new, to bring to fruition every promise and every truth that he's given us. It's time for us to wake up. The time for us to be spiritually asleep is never, church. Jesus is coming back. We need to saturate as much as we can with the gospel. As beautiful and amazing as these first 7 months of Local have been, and they have been incredible, as beautiful and amazing as all those baptisms were this week, as beautiful and amazing as every salvation has been here at Local, the job isn't over. God isn't done yet. The time is now, church. It's time to saturate ourselves, bring it into the church, saturate the church, and then take it out there and saturate our culture. It's time to answer the call, because what we've experienced is nothing short of incredible, church. This past Thursday, I had to just take a second and call Pastor Tyler, because I'm trying to stay focused and write this message and be prepared for today. And after last Thursday morning, just experiencing that growth, it's like, I'm like, you know, we've had some rad ministry moments here at Local. And, you know, our baptism service that we did a couple months back was incredible to see that response. I told you guys that day that that's like the top ministry moment of my career to date. Thursday surpassed that. To see 24 young men and then a man that was mowing the field make the decision to get baptized. Like, there's no words. There's no words. How incredible that is. But church, let me encourage you. Like, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, if we say yes to this message, we say yes to Romans 12 and 13, we realize all we've gained through Jesus, and we take the time to saturate ourselves, our church, and our culture with the gospel, and we stay faithful and do it to the end, he will show up and show off, church, in ways we never thought imaginable. He'll do it, church. You guys know them older ladies, they like to say, won't he do it? He'll come in here and he'll do it. And he'll do it right here in MIMS. And what happens is we're going to saturate so much, church. The gospel is going to saturate so much in MIMS and North Brevard. We're not just going to saturate. God is going to drown out every bit of hell that is in MIMS and North Brevard. Amen? Amen. That is why we started Local Church. To see things happen like we saw this week. To have a church come together on Sunday mornings right here in MIMS, lifting up the name of Jesus, and then going out into our community, not only saturating ourselves every day, but saturating our culture in every way that we can, our community, so that people would come into MIMS and into North Brevard and they would feel the presence of God, that they would know Jesus is doing something in this place. And over time, God would fundamentally and foundationally shift our hearts here in MIMS to where it would be harder to go to hell if you live in MIMS then go to heaven. Amen? All right, church. Let me close this in prayer. I know that I've given you guys a ton of action steps, a ton of things to do, and don't think that I'm telling you to do this stuff and I'm not giving you a way to do that, okay? You know, we tell you every Sunday about connection card, what all is on that connection card, how you can get plugged in here at Local, how can you serve on teams, how can you take spiritual steps. That's why we're here. Do not feel like you were bothering me by filling out those connection cards. That is why we do what we do. If you need to, take a minute, fill out that connection card. How is it time for you to get plugged in here at Local, to bring your gifts and your passions into the church and saturate the church with the gospel? How is it time for you to really start saturating yourself? Do you need a Bible? Do you need those resources? That's what we're here for, church. We love to put those in your hands. We love to get you in a local group. Maybe you're feeling called to lead a local group. We can get that process started. And we'll saturate ourselves. We'll keep showing up and serving our community like our couple projects that we have going on right now. And we'll continue to saturate our culture. And God will do amazing things, church. So if you need help responding today, me and the team will be in the back. I'll take all the time in the world to talk with you and help you take those steps, whatever it may be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Lord, thank you for what you're allowing us to experience here at Local, the growth, just the life-changing moments that are happening every day, Lord, through you, through what you're wanting to do. And Lord, your word calls us to give ourselves over completely to you, Lord. Would you help every individual here that considers themselves a follower of Jesus, that has confessed you as Lord and Savior of their life, Lord, would you help us to hold nothing back, to put our complete yes on the table, to go all in, to live as living sacrifices, our one and our true act of worship to you, Lord, giving ourselves completely to you, Lord, so we wouldn't be shaped by the world, but that we would be shaped by you, that we would shape your church, that we would shape our culture, and that we would continue reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.